أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد يا رب إذا رضيت لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد وأجود من سئل وأرأف من ملك أنت الملك لا شريك لك والأحد الذي لا ند لك لن تطاع إلا بإذنك ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك تطاع فتشكر وتعصى فتغفر الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر القلوب لك مفضية والسر عندك علانية والحلال ما أحللت والحرام ما حرمت والدين ما شرعت والعبد عبدك والبلد بلدك والأرض أرضك وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Adam to earth, has sent him with a divine guidance, has sent him for a purpose, which is to establish an ethical life on earth. Life that is controlled and governed by the manners of Allah, by the attributes of beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is al-Kareem, the generous, and He wants us to be generous with one another. He is al-Rahim, the merciful, and He wants us to have mercy on one another. And He is al-Ghafoor, the most forgiving, and He wants us to forgive one another. These attributes of beauty that Allah has, these are His manners, and this is how Allah wants us to live on earth. Allah wants us to do earthly business using heavenly manners. So we live on earth, we have to do earthly business. We're not angels. We're not going to do heavenly business. We're going to do earthly business. But Allah wants us to conduct this earthly business using the heavenly manners, which are the attributes of beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming from His manners. However, because of the dark side into the human heart, because of the intrinsic human temptations, the temptation of selfishness, greed, arrogance, ego, injustice, all these evil, love of evil temptations, love of money, love of power, all of these love of show off, all of these evil temptations, because of this, life on earth degrade. People who wants to get more than their fair rights, more than their fair share, those people will bring down the life on earth, will corrupt the life on earth, because they have a conflict of interest of this ethical life. Their best interest is in corruption, so that they can get what they want, so that they can get more than their fair share. So those people who start working hard to bring down life on earth, to increase the number of bad guys, to decrease the number of good guys, and then the bad guys become in control, the bad guys rule over the good guys, and life on earth becomes a corrupted life. The first generation after Adam alayhi salam, Adam was sent to the guidance to establish this ethical life, which is doing earthly business using heavenly value. The first generation that got corrupted after Adam alayhi salam was the children of Qabil, Cain, who killed his brother Habil, Abel. And he ran away from his father to the valley, and he kidnapped the one who's supposed to be his brother's wife. He ran away, and his children grow up far away from their grandfather Adam and from their uncles. He ran away down to the valley. And they grow up learning from a bad father, who is Qabil. This was the first corrupted generation. And then the life of earth started degrading and degrading and degrading until it reaches to the bottom. Layers of darkness, very corrupted, filthy life. Layers of darkness and corruption, one above another. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves the earth by establishing a communication between heavens and earth. A heavenly angel, which is Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, communicates with an earthly person, which is the Prophet or the Messenger of Allah. Because of this communication, the life on earth, the condition of the life on earth, gets lifted up towards heaven. So after it declines down, by this communication, it is going to be lifted up. So instead of the life on earth being governed by the manners of the shaitan, by selfishness, by greed, by taking advantage of one another, by hurting one another, and instead of the life being governed by these values, and instead of people making decisions based on selfishness and greed, and instead of people doing their business based on selfishness and greed, and instead of that, then people are going to do their business based on the manners of heaven. Generosity, kindness, wish for yourself, wish for your brother what you wish for yourself. And this communication between heavens and earth is the way Allah will lift life on earth from being controlled by the manners of earth, the manners of shaitan, the selfishness and greed, all the way up to being controlled by the manners of Allah, generosity, forgiveness, kindness, and all these manners that Allah wants us to apply in doing our earthly business. Then the Prophet dies, and the people who wants to get more than their fair share will come up with wicked ideas and bring down back life on earth to the bottom of corruption. Dark life, unethical, corrupted life. Because this is how they can get their more than their fair share. Because this is how they can control people's mind and people's wealth. They have a conflict of interest with righteousness. And bring life down to that level. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send another prophet with a communication between heavens and earth. And the prophet, this communication will lift life up, up, up to the heavenly manners, and instead of the earthly manners. And so forth. One cycle after another cycle after another cycle. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wilt for the last cycle, after which the day of judgment is going to come and no more cycles are going to happen. The last cycle, which starts by the communication between heavens and earth with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he communicated with Angel Jibreel. And this communication is the most important event that happened, not only in the history of Islam, but in the history of mankind. And it happened in a very, very, very emotional way. That never happened before. How? It started in a very unique way. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we learned in the last khutbah, was staying in the cave of Hira, reading life, getting to know Allah by reading the products of Allah, which is the nature. To learn about the Maker, you read the nature, which is the product of the Maker, trying to learn about Allah, because that was the only source available to him. And he was staying alone in the cave to free his mind from the pressure of the contaminated, corrupted life in Mecca. While he was there in the cave, suddenly, in the night, a man walked in, shiny clothes, bright. And he approached Prophet Muhammad to establish the first communication, which was what? A big hug. He hugged him. He squeezed him. Very, very strong hug. And that was the beginning of the communication. A hug between this heavenly angel, which is Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, and between this earthly man, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is the beginning of the communication. And this hug was very, very painful hug. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it by saying, حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ الْمَوْتِ. I thought I am going to die. So, why? This hug simply signifies what? And the pain that comes with the hug signifies what? It's an important event that we need to read and understand. The hug represents mercy. And indeed, the mission of Prophet Muhammad on earth was mercy to mankind. Hug means mercy, warm mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at the end of Surah Al-Anbiya, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you for no other reason except mercy to mankind. And that's his title, the mercy to mankind. You might wonder, why is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mercy to mankind? Many, many reasons. Because he was able to establish a righteous superpower. A superpower that lifted life on earth from the darkness of corruption and injustice. Layers of darkness and corruption, one above another. He was able to build a righteous superpower that lifted life up. To be controlled and governed by the manners of heaven rather than the manners of earth. He was mercy because he was able to not only to increase the number of good guys and decrease the number of bad guys, but also because he was able to put the good guys in power, to make them in control, to make them in charge. And when he puts the good guys in power, then life on earth becomes governed by the heavenly values and heavenly manners. There are two ways to make a decision. Either based on righteousness, based on idealism, based on moral values, wish for others what you wish for yourselves, based on justice, or based on selfishness and greed and strategic interests. And you do whatever is what you think is good for you, whatever brings you more profit, more money, more control, more strategic interest. Regardless, if the life on earth is governed by the making the decision based on these strategic interests and selfishness and greed and the earthly manners, then this life is corrupted. But if life on earth is governed by in such a way that the decision is made based on manners, based on the heavenly manners, based on the attributes of beauty of Allah, justice and fairness and forgiveness, then this is the life that Allah wants us to establish on earth, to conduct our earthly business using heavenly manners. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to put in power people who are making decisions based on righteousness and moral values, not based on materialism and strategic interests. That's why his mercy to mankind in this life and in the hereafter. Even his mercy to the non-Muslims. Because non-Muslims lived this ethical life and benefited from this ethical life, even though they were keeping their own religions, but they have benefited from the justice and prosperity that Islam brought everywhere. Some of them got wowed and impressed And this is why people became Muslims, not because of the sword, because they were so wild and impressed about this righteous superpower, about doing earthly business using heavenly manners, about this prosperity that Islam brought. And because they were so wild and impressed, they became Muslims. Indonesia, the largest Muslim country, Islam came without war. Islam came because people were so wild and impressed about Muslim traders, the ones who went to trade there, and they wowed the people of the way they do their earthly business using the heavenly manners, and people became Muslims. So this is the last cycle that started with the haq to signify the mercy that Islam brings. But the second question comes to mind is, then why is the pain? Why the bones of Prophet Muhammad was about to crush because of this haq? Why? Why? If it's a mercy, then why is the pain? If it's a pain, then how do you say it's mercy? Why the Prophet Muhammad said that it was so painful that Amal was about to die? Because for a very simple fact, for a very simple law of nature that Allah has established on earth, which says that no pain, no gain. In order to have mercy, you can't have mercy without pain. Look at the pain of labor, where a woman going through a labor, and it's very painful, but ends with a mercy, with a very beautiful, charming baby. No pain, no gain. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hug, this very painful hug, was just the beginning of a journey of pain and suffering. Did not end until he died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he died, Fatima said, وَكَرْبَ أَبَتَاهُ. His daughter Fatima said, oh, what a pain my father is going through. He said, لَا كَرْبَ عَلَى أَبِيكِ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. There's no pain that's going to harm your father after today. That's the end of the pain. But started with this hug, very painful hug. Pain that went through when he was persecuted and tortured in Mecca. A pain that he had to go through when he went to Al-Taif and he was stoned. A pain that he had to go through when he suffered hunger. A pain that he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the people who get the most pain in this life are as-salihun, are the most righteous, wal-anbiya, and the prophets. And then, ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. The pain decreases when the level of righteousness decreases. The pain increases when the level of righteousness increases. This is how. Why? Because no pain, no gain. When you're facing and confronting the bad guys who has conflict of interest with righteousness and who wants to have full control over people, wealth and mind, and who wants to establish their supremacy everywhere, you can't confront them without pain. You can't confront them without sacrifice. You can't fast without having pain. The pain that brings mercy, the pain that gets Jannah, the pain of mercy, this is the pain. Without this pain, there would be no gain. Without this pain, you cannot be a reformer. You cannot reform life on earth by decreasing the number of bad guys, increasing the number of good guys, and having the number of good guys, and having the good guys be in control and be in charge. Without pain, you cannot get that. It has to come with pain and struggling and suffering. And the issue of pain is, the pain is part of the provisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided. Allah divided the shares among us. No one can change the shares the way Allah has divided the shares among us. Everyone has her own or his own shares divided in heavens and earth, divided in heavens before this person is even born. And nobody can change these shares. Part of these shares is the share of pain that is being assigned to every one of us. We get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about dividing the shares in general. In Surah Fussilat, Allah said, وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ سَوَاءً لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Out of the 6 days that He subhanahu wa ta'ala used to create heavens and earth, four of them was dividing the shares in a wise manner, in a wise balanced manner to his needy slaves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. And heavens, your shares has been divided in heavens already. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proceeded by swearing. And Allah doesn't need to swear, because He always says the truth. But He's swearing to shake this denying human mind. And He said, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. I swear, Allah is saying, I swear by the Lord of heavens and earth that this is, this truth, the truth that your shares has been divided in heavens, pre-divided in heavens, is equal to the truth that you can talk. Can anybody deny that we are talking human beings? Can anybody deny that we can talk? Nobody can. Allah is saying that this truth that can be seen by everybody, that is no doubt about, is equal to the truth that your shares has been pre-assigned in heaven. This is equal to that, no difference. However, to set things straight, the shares have been pre-assigned in heaven, but we are free to choose how to get our shares. If we choose to get our shares the haram way, then Allah will give us our shares the haram way. If Allah looks into the heart of the individual and finds that he or she is willing to accept the shares that has been pre-divided the haram way, Allah will give him or her the shares the haram way. But if this person is not willing to accept the haram way, insisting and persisting on taking only the halal shares, then Allah will give the same exact share that has been pre-divided, Allah will give it to that person the halal way. It comes with blessings, it comes with Jannah. But the haram way comes with curse and comes with hellfire. The example of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he had a camel, he trusted a guy with a camel, he went to do his business, he came back. In his way back, he found, he was thinking about the guy. When he gave the camel to the guy to go to his business, the guy was admired the camel so much, and he was staring at the camel. He had so much desire to own this camel. So he trusted him with the camel and he left. In his way back, he said, let me do a good deed and give the camel as a gift to this guy. He arrived, he found that the guy stole the camel. So he said, Subhanallah, the camel is divided for him. It's part of his shares divided by Allah. But because he took it the haram way, he lost it the halal way. If he would have waited for me to come, he would have got the same exact camel as a gift, the halal way, instead of getting it the haram way. So is the shares of pain. The shares of pain has been pre-divided. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates heavens and earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hadith about that, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Nothing, no pain, no damages, no calamities happening to any one of you, except that it has been written long time ago, مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا, before the creations of heavens and earth. Then you say, Ya Allah, how? The answer comes in the same verse, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Oh, this is easy for Allah. So it has been pre-divided. If you close the doors of pain that has been pre-divided, you can take your pain in prayers, in night prayers. You can take your pain in fasting. You can take your pain working for the sake of Allah, sacrificing for the sake of Allah. And it comes with the blessings, with the hasanat. Or you can run away from this kind of pain and close these doors of pain. Allah will open you other doors of pains. Pain of cancer, pain of diseases, pain of a nagging spouse, pain of a disobedient child, pain and pain and damages from traffic accidents and tickets and everything. Your damages and shares of pain pre-assigned. It is up to you to choose how to get them. You get them for the sake of Allah, they come with the blessings and Jannah. You don't, you close the doors of pain, you're so clever, you ran away from prayer, you ran away from fasting, you ran away from working for Allah to avoid the pain, you're so clever, you close that door of pain, Allah will open 10 other doors of pain on the other side on you, because your shares of pain has been pre-divided. In the next verse, where Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا, the verse that we just recited, that no calamity or a pain or damages in heavens and earth that comes without, unless it has been written before, is followed by another very amazing verse. A verse that says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ ولا تفرحوا بما أتاكم. So that you don't grieve, you don't feel so sad about losses and damages, and you don't feel arrogantly happily proud, arrogantly happy, arrogantly proud of the gains and achievements and wealth that you accumulate. So that you don't feel that way and you don't feel that way. This is an amazing verse. It deserves us to think. Wait a minute. There is no human on the face of the earth that will not feel happy for a reward or a gain and will not feel a sad for a loss or a damage. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried when his son Ibrahim died. There was a righteous man at the time of Ibn Qayyim, Imam Ibn Qayyim, who when he was given the news of the death of his son, he smiled. Because he's accepting the decision of Allah. So Imam Ibn Qayyim commented on that. And he said, which one is more righteous? This guy who smiled when his son died, or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who cried? And the answer was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? This is the way it works. Allah does not judge you for the human sadness that comes, strikes your heart when you lose something or you get a disaster. This will happen for everybody. Nobody can avoid that. This is a human nature. It will strike your heart, the sadness. But Allah will judge you about your reaction. If you convert this sadness into patience, then you have done it the righteous way. The righteous way is to take this sadness and convert it into patience. Patience on the decree of Allah. Patience on the way Allah decided to get things done. Then you have done it the right way. On the other hand, when you get the happiness, when you get the reward, the bright and happiness will strike your heart. There is no escape. Every human being will have that. But the reaction, the righteous reaction is to convert this happiness into the gratitude and thanking to Allah. That is the righteous reaction. Opposite to the other reaction, the reaction of the people who have no gratitude to Allah. When they are striked by a disaster, they think badly of Allah. Say, Astaghfirullah, why did you give me that? Why did you take my children away from me? Why? What did I do? What is going to happen to you if you let my child live? What? And then start to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think of him in a negative way. Think of him, Astaghfirullah, as you know, mean God who did this to me. Why? And all of that. I'm a good guy and the other guys are bad guys. Why me? And all of these things. That's the negative reaction that leads someone to the hellfire, which is again the sixth pillar of faith, which is al-qada wal-qadar. The sixth pillar, number six, and the six pillars of faith. On the other hand, the other people who feel arrogantly proud when they have something, as Qarun in Surah Al-Qasas said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I was given this because of my talent, because of my intelligence, because of my hard work. Because I deserve it. I deserve it. Who else deserves that? Nobody deserves it but me. Yes, Allah did the right thing by giving me this because I'm the one who deserves that position. I'm the one who deserves that wealth. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I am because of my knowledge I got it. On the other hand, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, in the same surah, Surah Al-Naml, he said, when he saw the blessings of Allah showering him, he said, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. These are from the bounties and blessings and favors from Allah to test me whether I'm going to be thankful or I'm going to deny his favors and claim it to myself. I am the source of these favors to myself, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How about worry? If you're worried, we're only humans. We worry about things. The righteous act is to convert your worry into dua, where you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah. So you convert your sadness into patience, you convert your happiness into gratitude, and you convert your worry into dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the right way. And this is why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, Prophet Muhammad was more righteous. Why? Because his heart was big enough to combine two feelings. One, accepting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Two, was mercy. Have mercy on my child. And he cries out of mercy. Because he was so balanced, because his faith and his heart was so big, he was able to accommodate both feelings in a balanced way. because he's not radical and he's not an extremist. But the other person could not handle that much. So his heart could not combine both feelings. So he kicked out the feeling of having mercy to his child, and he only accommodated the feeling of accepting the decision of Allah, the decree of Allah, so he smiled. And this is, to be honest with you, is a radical behavior. That is not the behavior of normal human beings. This is why the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more righteous. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The hug from Angel Jibreel represents mercy, and the pain that comes with the hug represents the natural law of life that says no pain, no gain. Our shares of pain are pre-divided. We get them in prayers, working for Allah. They come with blessings and hasanat. We close that door, Allah is going to open another door of pain where we get our shares of pain. We cannot manipulate the shares of Allah. Whether you like it or not, they are going to happen. The clever person is going to accept the decision of Allah, the decree of Allah from day number one. The non-righteous person is going to accept it from day number 20. After 20 days of banging his or her head against the wall, rejecting the decision of Allah, there's nothing that can be done. And he will accept the decision in day 20. Which is better, day 1 or day 20? At the end, the decree of Allah cannot be changed. We conclude with that story that there was a righteous believer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed by the vision, the ability to see his shares that are divided, pre-divided to him. He can see them when he goes to sleep by seeing a dream. The dream, he dreams with a court. The court assembles, and the court will order his shares. We order this and this and that to go for that person. So one day, he slept, and he saw the court assembling in his dream, saying, we order the death of his only calf. And all what he owned, all what he had in this life was a cow and a son. Nothing else. A cow and a son. So to him, loss of cow means loss of all his wealth. He got so scared, and he woke up from sleep, and he was so scared and said, oh my God, losing the cow is a capital loss. I mean, how can I manipulate that? How can I get rid of that? So a satanic idea, shaitan came to him and told him, take the cow to the market and sell the cow. So he took the cow to the market, he sold the cow, and he took the cash. And he was so happy that he evaded the pain, the loss, the damage of the death of the cow. Then he went to sleep. He saw the court assembling again and saying, oh, he manipulated the shares of Allah. He's trying to manipulate the shares of Allah. The court orders the death of his only son. He got so scared again. And he woke up from sleep. He said, oh my God, my only son. No, the cow is easier. He ran away to the market. He bought again the cow. He gave the cash to the guy. And then he brought the cow home. And he said, Alhamdulillah, now the cow is going to die, not my only son. He went to sleep, and in his dream he saw the court assembling for the third time, saying, he has not learned the lesson yet. He still thinks that he can manipulate the divisions of Allah the way he divided the share. The court orders the death of his only son and the death of the cow. This is the decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. He divided the shares among us, whether we like it or not, by being patient, accepting his shares that causes pain and damages, and thanking him for his shares that causes pleasure and happiness. We fulfill the sixth pillar of faith, and we go to Jannah, inshallah, and the end of pain becomes our death. Just like the Prophet Muhammad when he said, no more pain after my death, Fatima. But for some people who are going to do the opposite, death is going to be the beginning of their pain. A beginning of an everlasting, persistent, severe pain that never ends. We get to choose. Allah divides the shares, and we get to choose how to get them and where to get them. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين، اعل بفضلك يا رب كلمة يا الحق والدين. اللهم عليك بمن عاد الإسلام وحارب المسلمين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم، والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ادفع عن أحيائهم واشف مرضاهم وفك أسر سجنائهم وتقبل شهداءهم في جنات النعيم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا وثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا، فقال جل من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغى عليهم، وآتيناه من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة أولي القوة إذ قال له قومه: لا تفرح، إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة، ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا، وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك، ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض، إن الله لا يحب المفسدين. قال: إنما أوتيته على علم عندي، أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة وأكثر بطشا، ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون. ألم ير أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه بطشا وأكثر عددا، ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون. فخرج على قومه في زينته، قال: الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم. وقال الذين أوتوا العلم: ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون. فخسفنا به وبداره الأرض، فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله، وما كان من المنتصرين. وأصبح الذين تمنوا مكانه بالأمس يقولون: ويكأن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر، لولا أمن الله علينا لخسف بنا، ويكأنه لا يفلح الكافرون. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا، ولا فسادا، والعاقبة للمتقين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها، إن ذلك على الله يسير، لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم، والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم. Please, if you can bear with me just for a couple of minutes. I have Brother Khaldun Abu Arabiya here. He's the head of their chapter here locally. He has a quick announcement, but I'll give you a little update about the project for the new mission.
Oh, okay. No, we're running late, and I really appreciate you can sit down for a minute and talk. My name is Khaldun, I'm the Care California board. And just to give you a brief snapshot, like 6-7 years ago, most of our civil rights cases came into our offices were employment-based. Last few years, it's been mostly government-based, whether it's racial profiling, you know, issues with due process, abuse at the border, targeting, of our leaders by immigration authorities. And we really like to change that trend. And the way to change it is to be engaged and to try to change policy, not to be at the receiving end of abuse and try to react from there. So I know we're running late, but I would really like to invite all of you. We have an event on May 31st on Sunday at the MCA Banquet Hall. And our team is going, American Muslims, going from reactive to proactive. So we really get to the bottom of these things and start the process of policy change, inshallah. I have tickets. It is $25 per person. I'll be outside. If you have any more questions, please call me. Appreciate your patience.
Assalamu alaikum. Very quickly, Fajr will be 5 o'clock starting tomorrow, and Asha will be 9:45. Basically, today we should be hearing back regarding the project that we've been working on for the masjid. In the meantime, we've been putting a lot of effort into that. We also need to look at the short term, which is keep the place here open. And we are running very low on funds, so we need everyone, inshallah, to donate as generous as they can towards the operations. And then, inshallah, as we move forward, and once we hear on the offer, we'll keep everyone updated. We will also, inshallah, have a general body meeting towards the end of the month. We will have that announced as it comes. So anyway, please don't forget, we need to keep the place open. We are very low on funds. So So if you can today, if not next week or during the week, donate as much as you can, and then we'll keep you posted on the project. The metal box is for the upgrading expenses between the three boxes there, for anybody who wants to go ahead. And if otherwise, maybe you can always reach us. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
So I want to share with everybody, speaking of the dead event, I personally lost my job 2 times because of a communication between the FBI and my employer. So I get fired. And then the second job, same thing. And I have a pending lawsuit in the court against my previous employer. They contact the security officer of the company. They say, this guy is blah, blah. I don't know what they say. I'll find out, inshallah, when the lawsuit goes on. But suddenly I get the letter saying, today is your last day and go home. And I get escorted outside of my employment place. So we really need to work on this because it's getting really so bad. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
In the morning, you know, that why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And one of the things that come to my mind, I mean, it's a strange coincidence that you talked about this image. And one of the things that came to my mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says again and again that there is going to be a day of judgment, and that is the evidence. Nobody has come back from that spot to tell us that this is how it is going to be. So it's just like we, the whole humanity, going in a river, right, on a boat. Don't know what the other end that you are going to fall from, or other fall down. Inshallah, won't be my daughter's fault. Right? No. But the information which is provided, there is going to be any other. How do you cope with it? Is really the whole essence of, you know, the belief system. You know, that there is a God, there is a day of judgment. I am telling you what the truth is, and you better worry. And the guy who is giving the information to the boat people, which are we all of us, that hey, there is going to be a Niagara Falls. How do you cope with it? I am telling you that this is the greatest of all mercies. I mean, everything is, but I mean, alhamdulillah. So the point that you are saying about, is it yourself that you know, that you are just talking to? About, you are talking about someone, you know, about the OCR communicating with